Good evening. Nice to be here again this evening. I like this kind of weather out there also, a little cooler. My kind of weather, the fall weather. We pray that men had a good time down at camp. I couldn't make it. I had to speak this morning in Summerside, and my wife's birthday was yesterday, so take her out for lunch. Turn your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We see in the book of Ephesians, we see in chapters 1, 2, chapter 3, we see our heavenly calling. Chapters 3 to chapter 6, verse 9, we see our heavenly conduct, which we're going to be looking at some of that tonight. And in chapter 6, verse 10 to the end, we see our heavenly conflict. So we see it, we can break it down in those little portions, the little book of Ephesians. Again, a lovely book that we can learn a lot of things from. We look in chapter 4, and I just want to read verse 1, because we're going to look at walk tonight. We're going to look at walking in the light. Walking in the light. You know what? Walk is something that Paul uses many times in the epistles. And of course, it speaks of our Christian life. Speaks of our life. And of course, we think of in this physical aspect, we think of someone, first of all, they have to be born in order to walk. We think of a little child has to be born. And same thing in the spiritual application, we have to be born again before we can walk within a Christian life. We have to be born again. So a walk, and as we think of walk, we're not going backwards, we're going forwards, aren't we? We're taking one step at a time and we're walking forwards. It's a forward progress. So that would speak of spiritual development or spiritual growth. And that's what we need as a Christian. God doesn't just save us and then want us to stand there and do nothing. Because if we're not going forward, guess what? We're going backwards. We need to be going forward. And so Paul uses that as a wonderful illustration to walk, our Christian walk. And so we see here in verse 1 of chapter 4, we see, first of all, we see the word walk. Therefore, the prisoners of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Walking worthy of our calling as a Christian. That is quite amazing. Look at the same chapter. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. There is a warning for us. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's where we were. And then turn to chapter 5 and verse 1. Or let's read in at verse 30 of chapter 4, and then we'll go to chapter 5. Chapter 4 and verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Chapter 5 and verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children and walk, there it is again, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So we see there three walks already. Walk worthy, walk not as the Gentiles, walk in love. And now we're going to see down in verse 8 and we're going to reading at verse 3. This is where we were when we walked as darkness. Look where we were. And this is what should make us so grateful that we're saved. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor a covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be you therefore, be not ye therefore partakers with them. And the section we're going to look at tonight is verses 3 down to verse 14. Here's the next one. For you were sometimes darkness, and that's quite a statement, but now are you light in the Lord, And here is exhortation, walk as children of light. And God wants us to walk a holy life. He wants us to have a testimony that shines forth, because a light, when you turn it on, it shines, doesn't it? It illuminates. It also shows what's going on in a room or anywhere else. And we need to walk as children of light. And it goes on in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That is the characteristics of the fruit that should be produced. Goodness, righteousness, and in all truth. It goes on to say, proving or testing what is acceptable unto the Lord. In other words, not wanting to offend the Lord. Testing our lives according to the Scriptures, according to the Word of truth. And you know what? I look at myself, and many times I say, do I do that? Or do we go on our own opinions and so on? It goes on in verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them or expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved or discovered or exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then, here is another one we're not going to look at tonight, but we're going to read it anyway, down to verse 22. See then that you walk circumspectly, or very carefully, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, controlled by the Spirit of God. Not controlled by other spirits, liquid spirits, wine, drinking of all kinds, right? Controlled by the Spirit of God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of the Lord. And some commentaries believe that there is that other walking in the Spirit in that verses 19 to 21. And we see there, if we're walking in the Spirit, being influenced, being led by the Spirit of God, we see that we're, first of all, we see four words there, speaking to yourselves in psalms, singing, and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks, giving, being thankful, and fourthly, in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another. You say, so what does that all mean? Well, there's a lot of things it can mean. We're not going to talk a whole lot about all those sins in verses 3 down to verse 7, but we're going to go cut in verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And what I want to suggest to you, first of all, the moment you're saved, you have a new description. A brand new description. And we see that in that verse. He says, Paul says here, first of all, in verse 8, he says, for you were sometimes darkness. Now, he didn't say you were walking in darkness. Notice that. He said, you were sometimes darkness. And I get a picture from that, is that basically from the very tip of your toes to the very top of your head, you were total darkness. That's what Paul is saying. And it's like a picture of a house out in the field or somewhere's a house that people are in, living in, but there's absolutely, in the middle of the night, there's no lights on. No light. No night light at all. And yet there's life inside. And that is a picture of you and I before we were saved. We were darkness. Paul says, you were darkness. You were darkness. But now are you light. Light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then he goes on to say, so first of all, we see a new description in verse 8. In verse 9, we see a new direction. In verse 10, we see a new desire. In verse 11 and 12, we see a new distinction. And in verse 13 and 14, a new duty. That is what a holy life is. That's what God wants us. He wants us to keep walking. That is progressing forward. That is growing spiritually. Spiritual development. To go forward, one step at a time. So he says, first of all, you're a brand new description. You were once darkness, but now you are light. Quite a contrast, isn't it? quite a contrast. And I want to give you five things about darkness. Number one, darkness is a person. We see that right in that verse. Look what it says. It says, for you were sometimes darkness. And that means every single one of us, before we were saved, for 31 years, I was total darkness. That's why people do not understand the Word of God. So first of all, darkness is a person. Let me give you another one. Darkness is a pathway. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19. Those people who are darkness are on a pathway. It says this, the way of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So darkness is a person. Darkness is a pathway. Darkness is also a preference. Look at John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. It says, and this is the condemnation that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For 31 years, I loved darkness rather than light. Brought up in a Christian assembly. But I loved darkness. What did that mean? It means that I loved the things of the world. I loved them. Why? Because I was darkness. And I was on a pathway of darkness, and my preferences were darkness. And look at the next one. Darkness is a power. Look at what it says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. It says about who had delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So darkness is also a power, and we know who the power is. That is Satan. We are influenced or under control of Satan. And lastly, darkness is a place. If you went to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, we know the story of the man who was people who were invited to a wedding, and one man landed there with no wedding garment on. Why? Rebellious? Yes. He wanted to have all the festivities. He wanted to have all the blessings of that wedding, if you will, but he did not want to come in the way he was supposed to come in. He wasn't coming in under the rules and regulations. Then said the king in chapter 22 and verse 13, then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. So number one, I was a person of darkness. Number two, I was on a pathway of darkness. Number three, my preference was darkness. Number four, I was under the power of darkness. And number five, if I didn't get saved, which I did, I would have been sentenced to a place of darkness in a place called hell. So my friends, what we're talking about is a tremendous contrast. Paul has said, you were darkness, but now you are light. And thank God, every single one of us who are tonight who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Our eyes have been opened and we can see, because that's what light is. Light is knowing and life is showing. And that's what a walk is. A life is a Christian life. It is showing to the people around you that you're saved. And that's what Paul is going to say in this whole passage. Our testimony. We shouldn't even have to really tell people that we're saved. Why? Because a light shines, doesn't it? And a light shines in a dark place. And we heard the story about a young man who went to a camp or somewheres, and he was worried about it because he was a Christian. And he came home, and his mom and dad said, well, how'd you get along? He said, I get along great. He said, nobody even bothered to ask me if I was a Christian or not. And I wonder why. Because he blended in. And it's not that we have to go around and we have to point our fingers and say, listen, I'm a Christian and what you're doing is wrong. That's not what we have to do. Is that what the Lord did? No, he didn't. Do you know what? The Lord lived a life, didn't he? Because it says in John chapter 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. His life was all that we needed to see, isn't it? We look through the Gospels, all we see is his life. And the people who scrutinized him and looked at him, they looked at his life and they said, what? We can find no fault in him. Isn't that true? In him was life, and the life was the light. That is, now we know, because we read the Word of God, we know. And God says, now I want you to follow me in this world. And your life should shine as a light in this dark world. So Paul says, you are sometimes darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children in life. That means that we have a brand new description or a brand new character. And as we said in Colossians chapter 1, we have been taken from darkness and placed into the kingdom of God's dear Son. A brand new realm, if you will. We have a brand new leader. We are his subjects. He is our king. He is our shepherd. He is the one that we follow. And God, and Paul says in this chapter, so you're now children of light. Walk as children of light. Shine out into this dark world. Shine out into this dark world. We are light. To walk as children of light means to live before the eyes of God, not hiding anything. It is relatively easy to hide things from other people because they cannot see our hearts and minds. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. We see that in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13. We can't hide things, and sometimes we forget that. We think that somebody's not watching. The doors are closed, the blinds are down. You know what? Everything we say, do, or think, God sees everything, doesn't He? He sees everything. You know what? We really enjoy that and appreciate that. We say, you know what? I do not want to offend Him. I do not want to offend the one who has paid a tremendous price for me. It also means revealing God's light in our daily lives by our character, our conduct, and our conversation. We bring God's light into a dark world. As God's lights, we help others find the way to Christ. Light reveals God. Light produces fruit. But light also exposes what is wrong. This explains why the unsaved person stays away from church meetings and from the Bible. God's light reveals His true character, and the exposure is not very complimentary. You know what? When I got away from the Lord, probably in my teens, and I never got saved until I was 31 years old, I didn't want to see a Bible. I didn't want to go to meetings. Why? Because the Word of God is truth, isn't it? The Word of God exposes, doesn't it? Because it's light. It shows us. It gives us an idea. It makes us to know. That's what it says in Timothy. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, show us what is right. For reproof, to show us what is not right. For correction, to show us how to get it right. And for instruction in righteousness, how to keep it right, that the man of God may be made perfect or spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God. To understand God's will, to know what God wants us to do, and to walk a life that's pleasing to Him. That's why God wants us. That's the way God wants us to live. Look at verse 9. So now we have a brand new character, but now we need to have a new character, a new description. Now we need to have a new direction. We're not influenced and doing all those wicked things we see in verses 3 down to so on. And we're going to go over to Galatians chapter 5 also in a few moments to see the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of light. Because in order for a fruit to grow, it needs light, doesn't it? It can't grow in darkness. It needs light. So we see in verse 9 what it says, for the fruit of the Spirit, or some would translate that, the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That is the characteristics of those fruit that are produced. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. So now we're in a new direction. We're going in a new direction. We're not under the influence of the devil and so on. Now we are beginning to produce good fruit. And let's turn over to Galatians chapter 5 for a few moments. And even as Christians, we have a war going on in us because we still have the old flesh in us, don't we? And you know what? It doesn't take me long to find out that I have the old flesh still within this body of mine. And you know what? Again, it's what we feed. Is the flesh we feed or the Spirit we feed? We need to feed the Spirit to make it strong. Look at what it says, verse 16 of chapter 5 of Galatians. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So we say there's a war going on, isn't there? Even in our Christian lives. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and of such like. of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that is what the works of darkness. Those are the works of people who are not saved. But, look at verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those fruit, as we begin to produce them, are produced in all goodness, in all goodness, in all righteousness, and based on the word of truth. The light produces goodness. One manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness is love in action. Righteousness means rightness of character before God and rightness of action before men. Both of these qualities are based on truth, which is conformity to the word and the will of God. And we know what it says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. It says this, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. My friends, we need to have a holy life. We need to work on it. And you know what? You say, wow, that's a hard task. And it is. And we all struggle. Me, I struggle myself. We all do, don't we? But that's why the Bible says we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. We need to lean upon Him. We need to cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. But we need to trust Him. That's why it says three times in the epistles, the just shall live by faith. That is, you and I who are righteous, who are saved, we need to live by faith, having faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and our God every day of our lives. Because sometimes we get discouraged, don't we? We get downhearted. We become like Elijah and we sit under the tree and we say, Lord, take my life from me because I'm the only one doing anything, and so on and so forth. We can go through a whole bunch of things, and Satan loves to do that. But God wants us to produce fruit in all goodness and righteousness and based on the word of God, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. Against there is such no law. So we see light produces fruit. Light produces fruit. And what was the first statement in verse 8? Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. And so we see, first of all, we have that new description. We are now children of light. We were once darkness, but now are we light. In the Lord, walk as children of light. Now we're in a new direction. We're producing fruit, or we should be producing fruit for the Lord. But look at verse 10, we should be a new desire. Because in verse 9, we were pursuing, and now we're proving in verse 10. Proving a new desire. Listen to what the little verse says. It's not very big, but look what it says. It says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You say, so what does that mean? The word proving also means testing or trying, if you will. Trying our lives, testing our lives, spiritual lives or Christian lives, as to the Word of God, based on the Word of God. Testing. Just turn to Philippians chapter 1 and we can see that word again. Look at verse Paul's prayer, verse 9 of Philippians chapter 1, this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment or discernment, that you may approve or test things that are excellent, things that differ, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So we go back to our little verse in verse 10. It says, proving or testing what is acceptable unto the Lord. My friends, if we have questions, a lot of times we go to other people, don't we? And sometimes it depends on who the person we go to ask. Is that a right thing for a Christian to do? That's why we need to be in the Word of God. Because we need to test our lives based on the Word of truth. That's what God wants us to do. We need to know the Word of God. Just go to Hebrews chapter 4 for a moment. Just to tell you or show you that the Word of God is a tremendous discerner. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 12. For the word of God is quick, that is alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. I was a meat cutter, used a knife. Wayne down there is a meat cutter, used a knife. There's nothing better than a sharp knife. A dull knife, you could do damage to yourself, and you don't get a whole lot of things accomplished. You got to keep your knife sharp. But this, the Word of God, is sharper than any two-edged sword. That is an edge on both sides. No matter how you swing it, it's going to cut something. Look what it says. Two-edged sword piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows. My friend, that is dissecting very closely, isn't it? Amazing what the Word of God does. Dividing asunder the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner. The Word of God is the critic. And when we go to the Word of God and we test our way of living, our Christian life, we will get an answer. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest. We already mentioned this verse. In his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So we see that little verse proving, testing our lives before the Word of God. Look it over in chapter 5 of Hebrews. And just speaking about, we talked about spiritual development. When we're saved, we're children of God. And look what it says. For everyone that uses milk, and of course when you're we desire the sincere milk of the Word when we're saved. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Look at verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, that spiritually mature, even those who by reason of use or are in the habit of have their senses exercised. You see that? Senses exercised. And we need to be very sensitive to the Word of God. Their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. You want to know the will of God? You don't want to know what is right and wrong in the world and our living? Even though someone may stand up here and preach something, go to the Word of God and find out for yourself. That's why God has given us the Word of God. Remember we said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? Profitable for our teaching. What is right? What is not right? How to get it right and how to keep it right, that the man of God may be made spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works. That is for the individual to be in the Word of God. Yes, we need preachers and teachers and so on, but you and I, personally, at home, we need to be in the Word of God, not just to read it. We need to be like in the man in Psalm 1. We need to be meditating day and night. We need to be like the person in Psalm 119. We need to be memorizing the Word of God. We need to be preaching the Word of God. And then we come to James, and that is probably the hardest one. He says, we don't just look in the mirror and then walk away. He says, we can't just be hearers, but we need to be doers. Because you know what? Knowledge, to know something without application, is absolutely worthless. In other words, you can't go to the mirror. If I ate spaghetti and meatballs in the one night for supper, and I went to the mirror the next morning and it was still on my face, and I didn't clean it off, then I don't look real good, do I? And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, because the mirror is the Word of God. And it is a discerner. It is a place where we can be reproved, corrected, and if we're willing to do that and obey, God will keep us on the narrow track. So first of all, we see we have a new description. We're children of light. We have a new direction. We're producing fruit and are in all goodness, righteousness, and based on the Word of God. Love, joy, peace, and so on. And God wants us to have at that new desires to prove, test what is acceptable unto the Lord. And there's many verses we could go to, but we don't have a whole lot of time, so we're not going to do that. We think of those words, love not the world, and so on. Do you know what? You and I as Christians, we have those enemies, don't we? We have the flesh. That is the enemy that is right within us. That's a big, ugly enemy. We have the world, the enemy that's all around us. And you know what? It's popping out lights and all kinds of things, things for our appetites. And then we have the devil. That is the one who opposes us or is against us. The world, the flesh, the devil. But we have the Spirit of God. We have the Word of God. We have the Lord Jesus Christ with us. And we can do all things through Christ. And if we're not, as we read in that first verse, if we don't grieve the Spirit of God, don't grieve Him with sin. Allow sin to pile up. Keep short accounts with Him. And we see that in John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Do we do that? Do we have a right relationship with Him? I was speaking about that this morning in Charlottetown, or Summerside. You know, we have a relationship with your wife. And you love her. And hopefully you tell her that every day. I love you. In the morning, in the evening, when you go to bed, I love you. We know the old story about the old man he married a woman and he told her that day he loved her. 20 years later, she says to him, she says, "Do you know, hon, I never hear you tell me that you love me." He said, "Listen," he said, "the day I tell you I don't love you," he said, "you know I love you." That's not much of a relationship, is it? How many wives here would love their husband to tell them they love her? And of course, vice versa. The husband loves the wife to tell them that she loves him too. But if somebody goes through life and they don't even tell them that they love the other person, now take that into the spiritual realm. You say, "I have a relationship with the Lord." You tell him you love him every day? You tell him you love the Lord Jesus every day? What did he do for you? What did he do for me? We love him because he first loved us. Should we not tell him that? God so loved the world, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, and we don't tell him every day that we love him? We should. That's a relationship. And if we do those things, and it's something that we have to form, habits, yes. There's things that, or the ball is in our court that we have to do sometimes. Sometimes a Christian says, "Well, I got saved," and the Lord will look after things from there in. Yes, He will, but you know what? God wants us to speak to Him, doesn't He? Communication. That's what communion, the word communion comes from. It means to speak to Him, and He speaks to us. We pray, and we thank Him, giving thanksgiving from our lips. "Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, this beautiful fall day. Thank you for giving your Son. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for opening my spiritual eyes." Because we look at the world today, and my friends, look at the world today. Well, we pray for those people in Florida. We pray for those people in Mexico and other places. Look what's going on in the world. Is God trying to get people's attention? He is. And people, instead of people bowing, most of them are shaking their fist. If there's a God, why is He allowing this? And what are some of the places, the pleasure places that are hitting those storms and so on? God is trying to get our attention, like He's been doing for quite a number of years. And you know what God wants? He wants us to speak to Him. Remember what He used to do in the Garden of Eden? He used to walk with Adam and Eve until sin broke that relationship. God wants us to speak to Him. He wants us to live a holy life. He wants us to walk. He wants us to develop spiritually, because God wants to make us, even in this world, to be like His Son. Because when we see Him, we're going to be changed and be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And down here now, we are to develop, to grow spiritually, to be more like Him every day. And I wonder if we do not. I look at myself because I can't point, because I get these three fingers pointing back. And I struggle like anyone else in here, because we have the world, the flesh, and the devil. But we have the Word of God. When we go to the Word of God, it's a mirror, but it's also very encouraging. And I thank God today that I'm saved. I'm not what I should be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. So we see a new description, a new direction, a new desire, not wanting to offend the Lord. Let's go to the new distinction. Look at verse 11 and 12. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." Now he's going back, Paul is saying, you don't want to be in fellowship. Fellowship means to have in partnership or have in common. Listen to what it says. "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them or expose them." Now God... or Paul is not saying you must go around and point your finger at people and say you're doing wrong and you're going to hell. That's not what Paul is saying. He's saying what we're talking about, a life that is a light in this world. And you know what? When a person walks into a room that is a Christian, anyone in the world should be able to say, wow, something different about that person. Something different. I don't know if I have never got to that place yet, but I pray that the Lord will help me get there. Talking about a lady over at the Mount. We go over there tomorrow, Lord willing. An old lady. We've been there about two and a half years, and now Robbie McGregor and myself was there. And this lady, oh, she was one grumpy old lady. Whew. I went in there the first day or two, and you know, we go around, we shake hands, and tell everybody we love to see them and so on. Went over to her. I said, would you like a book? No. If I want one, I'll ask for it. Do you want a chair? No. And you know what? We learned that I didn't even look at her, because if you looked at her, she'd give you a scowl. And if you got close enough, she'd probably give you a punch. But you know what? The last 3 weeks, that same lady, last week I sat down beside her. And do you know what she said? The Lord bless you for what you're doing. And I was amazed. So was Robbie. I don't know what happened. But she's not the same as she was. And you know what? We keep doing what we're doing for the Lord. And let Him take care of everything else. This morning I was preaching the gospel message, and you preach the gospel message and you leave, and the brother come over to me. There was an unsaved person there, and he said, well, why don't you go over and talk to him? You know what? Sometimes it's just as well to leave them alone. They just sat there for 40 minutes and listened to a gospel message, try to make it very clear so that people do not walk out of there and misunderstand what you're talking about. Do not misunderstand what you're talking about. But you know what? You go over there to go over, and I think to start pounding more gospel into them. Leave them alone, because you know what? You could drive them away. Maybe there was something said that will bring them back again. We pray that there is. And the next time, whoever's speaking there, when he's back again, may there be a real clear gospel message again, or a message that's clear that he can understand the Word of God, something to whet his appetite. Because we can drive people away by pointing or forcing ourselves on them. The Lord, in this passage, I believe the Lord is saying, shine as a light. Know when to speak. Speak when you're asked a question. Be ready with an answer. An answer that will provoke them. An answer that will give them a little, whet their appetite. But always be consistent and persistent with your same walk of life. That is a testimony, because if you went to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, we think of Enoch. Enoch, he walked with God, it says. And Enoch had this testimony. And I keep reading that and I say, how? He had this testimony that he pleased God. And God, he was not, because God took him right up into heaven. And I say, wow, what kind of a man was Enoch? You imagine walking with the Lord and everything you say and do is pleasing to Him? Because that is the testimony that Enoch had. He pleased God so much that God just walked him right into heaven. Wow. I say, I would love to have a testimony like that. And that's, again, is why we look at the Word of God. And sometimes we look at each other and we measure ourselves with them and we say, well, they're not doing this, so why should I? They're not doing this. God is looking at you. He's looking at me individually. Yes, collectively He is, but He's looking at you and I, and you and I are responsible personally to Him, because He knows us. He knows what we're capable of. He has given us gifts. He has given us all kinds of things. And people say, well, I'm not going to be a preacher. You don't need to be a preacher. Some of the greatest soul winning is done individual, one-on-one. People who are women, people who are living a life before the Lord. You don't have to be a preacher. God has given you a gift. Maybe it's kindness. Maybe it's love. And maybe you have a testimony. And people are already saying, you know what, I'm watching that. I'm watching him. Curran was home here just a week or two ago. We were golfing with him there one day. Pretty good golfer, by the way. I was golfing with him, and he said about a gentleman who was professed to be an atheist working with them. You know what? I believe the man has made a profession. Why? Because he was working around Kerwin and another man who was saved. And what happens? We see a testimony. We see a light that's shining, a life that's lived before them, that's on a persistent and consistent basis. And he sees Kerwin, he sees this other man who's living for the Lord, and he said, I want what you want, what you have. And God can change people. We cannot change them. As I said to this man today, I said, you know what? I am just a messenger, nothing else. God does the saving. Through the what? The Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and by the Spirit of God as He pricks the heart of those people. But we are the ones who bring the message. And that's why we need to know the Word of God, so that we can say the right things at the right time. And our lives are based on the truth of God. And we have a new distinction. We have a new distinction. We are to be those who are testifying to others around us. And we're not going to finish all this, and I'm not going to keep you late. It says in verse 11 and 12, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them or expose them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. We need to be careful what we talk about. We need to be careful what we talk about, myself included. Sometimes we see people who are living different lives, and we make some comments, don't we? Innuendos or whatever. We need to be careful about that. And what other people may be doing, their lives and so on. One of the gentlemen who wrote a commentary says this: I recall a friend in youth work who felt it necessary to read all that the teenagers were reading in order to understand them better. And it so polluted his mind that he himself fell into sin. It is not necessary for the believer to perform an autopsy on a rotting corpse to expose its rottenness. Sometimes we think we have to delve into these things in order to understand them. That is not true. When the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, looking unto Jesus, not at people, not at other things, computers, books, or anything else, where we should not be looking, because, you know what, it will defile us. And we want to walk Christian life. We want to have a testimony that's pleasing to the Lord. We need to have our focus in the right place. And the Lord says, if you do, He says, I will bless you. And that's how we will bring people to the Lord. That's how we would bring people to the Lord. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, and we'll close with this. We are lights in the world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, but you are a chosen generation, that is you and I who are saved, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and we can use that in the sense that it says we are peculiar sometimes, but you know what the word really means? It means a purchased people or people of His own. Isn't that lovely? We're God's people. That's a wonderful thing. Peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises or the virtues of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That marvelous light is a light to be wondered at. A light to be wondered at. He has called us out of darkness. And He wants us to bring show forth the praises or the virtues of Him who hath called us out of darkness into the marvelous light, which in times past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We're people of a priesthood of believers, a royal priesthood. We're peculiar people or purchased people. We're people to bring forth the praises of the Lord, and we're people of God. Are we privileged people? We sure are. And God wants to bless us, but the ball is in our court. God isn't going to do everything for us, but He will bless us when we do it according to the Word of God. Just I'm going to go to one couple of verses for Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And I'll close there, I promise. Romans chapter 12, and a lot of times we think about knowing the will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed. The word conformed means to be changed. It means to be changed from the outside. It means to be pushed into a mold, because be not conformed to this world. Don't be pushed into the mold of this world. And look what it says, but be transformed. The word transformed also means to be changed, but the same meaning is in the word transfigured or metamorphosis. And we think of the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was changed. His glory came from that which was covered. It came from the inside out. The Word of God will transform us from the inside out, not from the outside in, as the world will. The Word of God will transform us from the inside out. Listen to what it says, by the renewing of your mind. The mind is part of your heart, isn't it? Your mind, your will, and your feelings towards God. That you may prove, that you may test. There's that word again. What is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? In those three verses, you see, in two verses, you see a yielded body, you see a separated life, and you see a transformed mind by the Word of God. A yielded body. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A yielded body, a separated life, a transformed mind. You know what? Some books that we read and computers, that some books will inform us. Other books will reform us. But the Bible will transform us, change us from the inside out. And we need to be children of light walking in a dark world. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we bow in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your goodness to us, for your long-suffering and gentleness, even in spite of ourselves. And we thank you, Father, that you want the very best for us. You want to bless us. You have given us the tools, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. And Father, we are in that very kingdom of your dear Son. We are children of God. And someday, Father, we're going to be caught up, maybe even tonight, to meet the Lord in the air. Father, help us, guard us, encourage us, help us to live lives that are pleasing to thee. Help us to be lights in a dark world. And Father, we pray for each individual here, each home represented, that you would protect, watch over, keep, encourage, lead, and guide us. And Father, we ask all these things that we part from here and go to our homes. We ask all these things in the wonderful name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.